Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor John Shishko, guest hosting for Pastor Bill Shishko on this Saturday afternoon. This episode of A Visit to the Pastor's Study is entitled Public School? Private School? Or Homeschool? And we'll consider the different options available to us for the education of our children. But before diving into all the education options and difficulties that typically come to mind, I want all of you to stop and think. I want to turn your attention to something that may surprise you, something that's so obvious it usually hides in plain sight. And that is this. Everyone, all of you listening, each of you homeschool. We're all homeschoolers of one variety or another. In fact, you may be homeschooling right now. Let me explain. A perfectly good definition of the word school is a place where people are instructed in certain disciplines. And the home is certainly a place where people are instructed in certain disciplines. It's inevitable. That is why home life and family values and sociology are always important and often talked about topics. Much of life comes back to homeschooling. Every time you sit on your bed Googling something on your tablet or smartphone, you are self-educating at home or homeschooling. Every time you sip coffee while reading a book in your living room, you're homeschooling. Every time you follow a recipe, plant a garden, fix something in the house, or have company over, you're homeschooling. And when children enter the picture, well, before children can even speak, they are already in advanced stages of homeschooling. Homeschooling is, after all, how children learn to speak, watching, listening, learning, instructed by the example set by mom and dad, instructed by each brother and sister, instructed through everything that's going on in the home, coloring, playing with blocks, reading and being read to, drawing, writing. It's all homework. It's all homeschool. Children are learners, and their first school is the homeschool. And as followers of Jesus Christ, one thing we must always be thankful for is how very practical His Word, the Scriptures, the Bible, how practical it really is. This reality that we all homeschool all the time is something the Bible understands better than we tend to. In one of the most well-known passages of the Old Testament, we read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." That's God's word saying, homeschool and do it all the time. In the New Testament, writing to the fathers of the homes that Paul is writing to, he says, "Bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." God made us male and female in His own image. God designed us to live in and be part of families. God intends for the home to be a school, and the home is always a school whether we think of it that way or not. How we were raised shapes and defines us at every point. All of us not only homeschool, but have been homeschooled. Now, please don't take this to an absurd extreme. There's often a place for outside schooling. Throughout the Bible, we find many instances of specialized schooling. In the Old Testament, we find a group called the Sons of the Prophets that seems to be a special prophet school to which Elijah and Elisha belonged. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were trained in the schools of Babylon, schools that were radically hostile to their faith. In the New Testament, we read that the Apostle Paul spent 14 years in special training, special schooling, for his work as a missionary. And the explosion of Christianity in the New Testament happened in cities where there are all sorts of schools, schools of philosophy, trade schools, and religious schools. Even Jesus Christ profited from special schooling. In Luke 2, we read, when Jesus was 12 years old, he spent 3 days in the temple at Jerusalem, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. So, while the home is a school, there is often a place for specialized schooling as well. And that brings us to the options and difficulties we typically think of when we consider education. We all homeschool. The question is, to what extent should we make use of specialized schools? Are public schools the best way to raise our children in the Lord? Are private schools the best way to go? What do we do here in New York, where every option seems so labor-intensive and financially challenging? To what extent should we make use of the programs and opportunities we are already paying for through taxes? If we do more with homeschooling, what about socialization? My wife Lauren and I have a 9-year-old son, a 7-year-old daughter, and a 5-year-old boy. We wrestle with education and school-related questions all the time. And in the course of that wrestling through various questions, we've met wonderful families, one family of which is the Young family, Kim Young and her wonderful family. Kim, thanks for being here today. To start us off, Kim, why don't you just simply explain how the paths of our families have crossed because of homeschooling?
Thank you for having me, Pastor John. I met Pastor John and his wife, Lauren, after my first year of living here in New York and being involved in classical conversations. In 2013, God gave my family an incredible opportunity to direct the classical conversations community at New Hyde Park. We were involved in homeschooling for that year and quickly became directing that community, and his family joined our community after that very first year and have been a tremendous blessing to my family and to myself individually. We have asked many questions and encouraged one another in homeschooling our kids and just been there to walk this journey of homeschooling and Christian life together.
And so what are some things that you found you enjoy about homeschooling, just sort of on a daily basis, things you see in the community group that we're a part of, things you talk about with your husband? How have you found that homeschooling is just a pleasure to deal with? What are some even trials and difficulties in it?
I think there's a lot that goes into that. One of the things for me is it took a lot of prayer and wisdom and discernment and guidance for my husband Nate and I to talk through and think through before we decided we were going to homeschool. And the CC community is really what solidified it for us. When we met the families who were desiring to have an education for their children that was very similar to ours, our theology, our philosophies, they were very similar. And that was very encouraging to me to know that we wouldn't be alone on this path, especially in a place that I believed would be very hard to homeschool in.
Yeah, so, one of the first question that I've found comes up over and over, so we're a homeschooling family. Kim is also part of a homeschooling family, and I think you've probably come across this as well. You know, you say you homeschool, or somebody asks your kids why they're not in school when it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon and you're at Home Depot, and you try to explain, well, we are at school. We're doing shop class now. That's why we're at Home Depot. And then you get into the homeschooling conversation. And they say, well, what about socialization? And what I hear you saying is there's something, a community group that you're a part of. Why don't you just sort of launch into what that community group is and why it's sort of different. I mean, people think of homeschooling, they don't think about community, they don't think about meeting in classrooms, and yet you're talking about a community group. So what is that? What's that all about?
Sure. So there are different types of community groups, specifically in the homeschool realm. One is called a co-op, and that's basically just stands for a cooperative society, where each person or family brings their gifts and talents to the community and shares with one another. And then Classical Conversations is our specific community. And it's called a community rather than a co-op just because we're specifically focused on equipping the parents more than just involving the students. And it's for equipping the parents for the journey of the classical education together. And we do meet once a week with a trainer or with a trained parent tutor who models the classical tools of learning for us. And for me, individually and specifically, I enjoy going on Fridays because it's a reminder when I walk in that there's 40 other families that are on this journey with me, because sometimes it can feel very lonely throughout the week. And and it helps. It does help a lot with the question you asked about socialization. I do think that when people ask that question, I think it's interesting to ask them for their definition of socialization, because different people see socialization differently. For us as a family, my view of socialization is how our children interact with everyone, not just their own age group, but how they interact with the adults that are around them, the children that are younger than them, the babies that the moms are having trouble with, the toddler obeying, different things like that. And our community day, not only do the students have a presentation time every single week where they get up in front of their peers and have to present on a topic for 3 minutes, the students that are not presenting are there learning to be good listeners and learning to ask good questions. So they're learning other skills of socialization as well as speaking in front of their peers. But they also get to learn how to minister and serve the other families in the community. Our family is also a ministry family, so we have a lot of opportunity in our church to be able to serve other families. And I love the flexibility of homeschooling where we can do that throughout the week. They're interacting and being disciplined and mentored by other adults, by other students that are older than them, according to Titus 2. And they're also getting defined social skills in talking to adults and other people as well. One of my favorite things was having our youngest daughter in the lot. She's 2 this year. And just seeing the other homeschool families that the older kids love her. They play with her. Your daughter was her favorite person in the afternoons just because she had a love. She is around her siblings, so she has a love for other kids. And it's just a joy to see that those kids are learning to interact with different age groups and the adults as well.
Now, when you talk about meeting together, a community group, maybe you call it, we call it a tutor and not a teacher because the parent is the teacher. But that sounds an awful lot like school. I mean, even what the most common idea of school. So how is it that that plays into homeschooling, or maybe just open up that a little bit more, because I think that one of the big misconceptions out there, and it's kind of behind the question of, well, what about socialization? It seems to me that there's a misunderstanding that it's not as if our children never see a classroom or are never under the authority of a teacher or are never exposed to anything outside the immediate household. So maybe just open up a little bit more about the community, and you mentioned public speaking and even just at what age that starts and that sort of thing. Just talk to us about more about the community.
So the community, I think, is a great balance of all the things you just said. The parent is still, as you mentioned, the teacher. So at home, they can decide what they want to teach their children. If their child has a strength or a weakness somewhere, they can pick up on that and they can encourage them to grow in the areas that they're weak, and they can help them flourish in the areas that they're strong. You can choose different curriculums that work best for the way that your child learns. But then in the community, it also teaches the children to be able to sit and learn to listen to something that they may not be learning at home, and to be challenged and grow in an area that encourages that with other children around. The parents are also asked to be in the class for the younger ages, so that does help too. The tutor is not in there with a large number of students alone. Because again, as the community is focused on equipping the parents are in there as well, and they're learning how to take those tools and go home and teach them to their kids. The public speaking starts at age 4, and at the youngest ages, they're encouraged to do more like show and tell. It's just getting them up in front of their students, their peers, and getting them used to speaking. We have at our community, not all the communities do this, but at ours, we have a list of topics that we encourage for the different 24 weeks. And that's just to encourage the different styles of presentations for the kids. But again, as the parents are the teachers, they can direct that to what their student is focusing on. If they're learning something that week and they want them to present, they can. If their student is interested in something else and they want to learn that, they can do that as well.
You know, as I think about the options, a public school or a private school or homeschool, I guess what keeps coming to my mind is, on the one hand, how radically different homeschooling is from a private school or a public school. But then on the other hand, how radically different this version of homeschooling is than many of the conceptions of homeschooling, just because it's so people involved and so focused on communication and community and even the classroom, having a tutor in a classroom. Just so everybody understands, Kim Young is a director of a Foundations and Essentials programs, which is roughly kindergarten through sixth grade, in a group called Classical Conversations. And I also am a director in Classical Conversations for seventh grade, which we call Challenge A. So we're in the same community. Our families are in the same community. And I'm a pastor, and my wife is the wife of a pastor. Kim is the wife of a pastor, and her husband is a pastor. So we have a lot in common. And what I'd like to come back, and we have to take a brief break, but after the break, we'd love to take your phone calls. The number here is 631-955-5400. We are not just here to talk about homeschooling, although it is the lesser known of the three options, public, private, or homeschool. So call in with any questions you have. We'd love to talk to you. And Kim, when we come back after the break, I'd like to talk just a little bit about how your children tend to associate and involve themselves with kids that aren't homeschooled, since that has to be, you know very well, and I know very well, that's certainly a part of church life, is having kids that go to public school or private school or something other than homeschooling. So let's take a brief break, and we'll be back and talk about that.
That great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, a visit to the pastor's study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Good to be with you this afternoon. I am Pastor John Shishko, and I'm filling in for Pastor Bill Shishko, the regular host of today of the show. And I'm here today with Kim Young, Director of Foundations and Essentials for Classical Conversations, a homeschool group that we're both involved with. And Kim, you know, I should have probably asked for this sooner, but can you just maybe give an email address or some way to get in touch with you if there's any of our listeners out there that are interested in this topic and have concerns about the education of their children? I know this is something all families talk about pretty regularly. So if there's a way to get in touch with you.
Sure. We have an email address set up. It's at youngfam, like family, F-A-M, 700@gmail.com.
Great. Young, Y-O-U-N-G, fam, F-A-M, 700@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. So you can email Kim directly and get her advice. And I want to just say, you know, anytime you have an organization, on the one hand, it's never perfect. We all know that. On the other hand, you really see the difference between a good organization and a poor one because of whoever's leading it. And over these past years, Kim Young has done an absolutely fabulous job of organizing the Classical Conversations community in New Hyde Park. And I know there's some reticence around this. We can't do it as much as we'd like to, but one thing to certainly ask about as you, if you email Kim, is if you can come and visit and see what goes on. I mean, as much as we talk about it, enjoy talking about it, seeing it or coming to the year-end program is far better than us taking stabs at what actually goes on. But Kim, first number here, 631-955-5400. We'd love to hear from you. If you can give us a call, we'd like to field your questions. But tell me about your children. How do they work with, how do they involve themselves with kids that aren't homeschooled? Is that awkward for them? Have you found that that's been a difficulty? Just talk to me about that.
So we have four children. We have a son who is 11, a daughter who is almost 10 this month, another son who is 6, and then a daughter who is 2. Our children tend to be very social. They don't seem to have any difficulty interacting with any children their age. I will say there has been times where our oldest, when he was involved with sports, it may have been awkward at first if he was doing a recreational sport and all the other children knew each other from school and he didn't know them. That was a little awkward at times for him, but he seemed to go right in with them. We focus a lot in our home on allowing God to be the person that we're doing everything for. Everything that we do is for His glory, and we want to love each other in the process and prefer others above ourselves. So when he would have those times, and of course all of them have had moments of it, we try to just encourage them that you don't see these children as different because you are in different educations. We have so many differences in our lives, but yet God created us all in His image. Yes. So really we're way more alike than we are different, and just encouraging them to prefer others above themselves and seeking out those people and finding the ones who maybe aren't in with the crowd and just encouraging them to be a friend.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I know one thing I love about Classical Conversations is the mission and tagline, to know God and make Him known, or, you know, I wish it was to know Jesus Christ and make Jesus Christ known, but that's a great goal. And when that's the case, you don't let things like the way you're educated get in the way of building relationships and friendships. And I'm very thankful for that. Now, you mentioned something that I want to talk about. I know for me, homeschooling was something I was reticent about because it seems like it would be hard to fit sports in. And I personally think sports are great. I love sports. I love the team atmosphere. I think there's few things that are more helpful for kids than to have a coach and teammates and to learn what it is to, you know, keep going even when you're losing and to enjoy a win, but to not make that the end all be all. So how have you been able to incorporate sports into your homeschool curriculum?
My oldest is 11, as I said, so we've not hit the challenge of high school yet in high school sports, but there are so many recreational teams that he's been involved in, baseball, basketball. There's so many places, too, that have their own facility, and if you just call, we've had them do homeschool leagues. They're in a homeschool archery league right now, the two oldest ones. And I know we've had several in our community that have mentioned that they've called certain places and they'll do special homeschool leagues. Then there's also so many places that you can take gymnastics. We've been involved in gymnastics and dance and swimming. And there's so much that we actually say no to because there's so much out there. So, again, I'm not in high school with the kids yet, and I don't know how much that changes. But for right now, we do that. And then we also have a mom in our community who leads a gym day twice a month at her church. So it still gets their physical activity needs met.
Another question along these same lines is, of course, some of the most memorable moments for anybody in school revolves around recess and field trips. Is there any place for recess or field trips within a homeschooling group or program?
Sure. On our community day on Fridays, we have an hour that's dedicated to lunch and recess. Our facility has been a tremendous blessing because we have a gym inside. So when it's too cold or rainy, we can stay there. But then we also have a park across the street that the kids can go to. And then we have a couple moms that actually, since our CC year is done, they've continued with play dates. So they've been meeting every Friday since we've finished CC to do play dates together and just meet at a park or meet at the beach. And then we have another mom who's in charge of field trips, and she planned throughout the year one field trip per month. Mm. So we had, you know, 6 or 8 field trips just this year.
Wow. You know, the other kind of memory of school and then, of course, having teachers in the congregation is parent-teacher conferences. So that seems to be a time where it's not just parents meeting the teachers, but parents meet one another. And there's not too many opportunities for that, but that tends to be one of the time. Is there anything provided through Classical Conversations Community in New Hyde Park where parents can speak with the tutors and then parents can get to know one another besides just the community daytime itself?
Yeah, one of the blessings for me that we kind of established over the last couple of years is we have a mom's night out once a month. And that's been a huge encouragement. You know, we've tried to plan activities and we don't really end up doing them because we just want to sit and talk and just encourage one another. So that's been a huge blessing for me. And then just the fellowship of knowing that we're in a community that's somewhat close to each other, so we can call each other up throughout the week. And if we're having a rough homeschooling day, just encourage one another or just meet for lunch and be able to just get out for an hour and go back home and get back at it.
Yeah, I think, you know, two objections, maybe too strong of a word, but of course socialization, which we've already talked about, and the community just really provides so much socialization. You have to turn down social opportunities because there's too many of them. But the other thing is just moms and dads saying, you know, we're not equipped to teach our own kids. You know, we got to get professionals involved. That's why we need to send them off to private or public school. And what you're talking about, among other things, is, you know, mom's night out, encouragement, support. So, you know, how do you talk to a mom or a family that says, we're really interested in homeschooling? It's certainly cheaper than a private school, and we like a lot of what it has to offer. We just don't feel like we have the time. We don't feel like we're in any way equipped to be teachers. This whole thing is just absolutely frightening to us. We like what we see, but we're scared to death by it. How do you kind of speak to someone in that situation?
I think the initial thing is just the reminder that 2 Peter 1:3 tells us that God has given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. So if he is calling us to homeschool, he's going to provide everything we need to be able to fulfill that calling. I do think, though, that the community aspect is a huge necessity if you're homeschooling. It's very difficult when you homeschool without a community to stay accountable to doing the work and to have the encouragement to keep going, to keep pressing on. So I would encourage them, again, as you said earlier, to visit the community, to see what it's all about, to see the interactions of the families with each other, and just a reminder that God will give you everything that you need to do it, but that doesn't mean you don't have a responsibility.
Right.
The responsibility of following the guide that's given to you and choosing what works for your children. Now, you know, the first year they may try one thing and then need to change it the next year as the teacher. But just the encouragement of accountability and having others around you.
Well, that's a great point that I haven't thought of enough. But, you know, kids coming in to show what they've learned to a tutor every week is accountability and encouragement to the parents, to the kids, to stay on track, to not treat this as like, oh, I homeschool, I don't have to do anything. It's a robust curriculum, and there's every reason and encouragement and accountability, like you said, to stay on track and to stay the course. I want to take a few moments and just talk a little bit about the show and how it's provided here for you, and then when we come back, we'll start accepting calls. But so that everybody knows, this show is A Visit to the Pastor's Study. You can visit our website, visitthepastorsstudy.org, visitthepastorsstudy.org. And what this show is one aspect of the ministry of Reformation Metro New York. And you can visit Reformation Metro New York at reformationmetrony.org. And these are ministries of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church right here in this area of the United States. Pastor Bill Shishko is the normal host. I'm his son, and I'm hosting guest hosting today's show. My name is John Shishko. I pastor a church in Queens, in Fresh Meadow, Queens, queensreformation.org. That's the church where we meet, and a public school, queensreformation.org. We'd welcome you to join us any Sunday. You can call me at 718-404-9410, or you could email me at john@queensreformation.org. I'd love to hear from you. And I'm here today talking about Christian education options, whether they be a public school in which you're still have the responsibility to raise your children in the Lord, even if you're making use of a public school. And then, of course, private schools, which are many fine private schools out there, although there's always a significant cost attached to them. And then homeschool, which we're spending the bulk of our time on here today because it's the lesser known of the three. And I'm here with Kim Young, Director of Essentials and Foundations of Classical Conversations. That's kindergarten through sixth grade, and I work with her. I teach the seventh grade class, which is called Challenge A. Kim, why don't you just give your email address one more time, and then we'll continue discussing the challenges and the opportunities with a homeschooling approach to education.
Sure. It's youngfam, Y-O-U-N-G, F-A-M, as in family, 700@gmail.com.
Great. And our number here in the studio is 631-955-5400. 631-955-5400. We'd love to hear from you. This is a topic that every parent wrestles with and wonders about. And you have people here today that have about a five-year history of working through and still wrestling. We haven't figured them all the questions and answers out yet, but we've been in these things and would just love to hear from you and hear your point of view today. Now, one thing I've come across is parents that homeschool for the younger years, and they tend to think that, you know, maybe that's easier to work with your son or daughter until they can read or do some mathematics. But then, you know, when it gets to sixth and seventh grade, junior high school, and of course when it gets to high school itself, you know, that's the time to send the kids to the professionals at a public or a private school. Do you intend to homeschool all the way through high school? What are your thoughts about homeschooling through junior high and high school?
Our oldest will be in what's equivalent to seventh grade, so in Challenge A next year, Lord willing. So our desire at this point is to continue homeschooling through high school with all four of our children, just because of the model of CC, if nothing else. At the early ages, which is the, you know, about four years old through sixth grade, they're learning the grammar stage, which is the memorization, the foundation of education. It's putting pegs in their memory board for what they can they're so good at memorizing right now that they just are sponges. They ingest it all.
What are some things they've memorized?
So this year alone, we focused on the Renaissance, the Reformation age for history. So they memorized 24 different history sentences about the Renaissance ages. They've memorized Latin verb conjugations, Latin noun conjugations. They memorize skip counting in math so that when they get older, they can multiply and know the answers already. They learn English. They memorize all the prepositions. They memorize several different things in the English subject. They also memorize geography. They memorize the location, where it's at on the map, and hopefully are able to draw it. I know Challenge A, that's the goal for them, and we want to build them up to that before then. So there's seven different subjects. They also memorize a timeline from creation all the way to today.
Yeah, I mean, just for me to hear 7-year-olds rattle off every president of the United States that has ever been president of the United States, or to know where, you know, not know that there's a place called Guam, but to know where it is on the map and say, that's Guam. Or I do have the privilege of teaching 7th grade Challenge A, and this is after kindergarten through 6th grade, which Kim directs, and we draw the whole map on a whiteboard. I mean, the kids have to, from memory, draw the world on a whiteboard and label it, and they're able to do this because they've had kindergarten through 6th grade memorizing all the countries and all the capitals. They have to draw all parts of anatomy on the board, so the brain and the eye and the ear and the respiratory system. I mean, they actually have to draw this from their memory and then label it, and they're able to do it. It would be way too much to teach in a year, but it's because of year after year after year of memorizing all the labels. When they learn how to draw it, they're actually just reviewing so much of what they already know. And then, like, the timeline in itself, I mean, it would be worth it for any of us to be able to say, you know, here's step by step how everything has gone all the way back to creation. And then as you read other things, as you look up something about World War II or hear about some past person like George Washington or whatever it might be, you have this whole framework, not only in time, but on the map, in place, in space. So it's really remarkable. And like you said, it all starts at 4 years old. And it's just a remarkable thing to be a part of. So certainly encourage you to come on to one of our Fridays when the school year is back underway. So that kind of gets us through junior high school. Why don't we talk a little bit about high school and then even college? I mean, something I've tended to think about occasionally is homeschooling going to be a reason they don't make it into college? Are people going to look at that and say, no, you know, they were homeschooled through high school, they can't come to college here? So why don't we talk a little bit about challenges of homeschooling in high school, and then what's that transition to college look like?
I think, you know, going back to the elementary ages where it's a grammar stage, and then the junior high, middle school ages is what they call the dialectic stage.
Okay.
And then the high school age is known as the rhetoric stage. And the rhetoric stage is supposed to basically lead them pretty much to either college or business.
Huh.
So the rhetoric stage, the idea of that is now they're not just learning, but they're taking what they've learned in those previous years and putting it with critical thinking and abstract thinking and turning it into something that they can do on their own. So if you want to have just a word picture of someone who plays music, the grammar stage would be learning the theory, learning the notes on the piano, and how if you push this note, it's middle C. If you push this note, it's D. And then when you get to the dialectic stage, it's learning to look at the music and play it. And then the rhetoric stage is being able to take what you've known, take your knowledge that you now have, and compose your own music
mm-hmm.
and do your own performance. So that is supposed to give the students an absolute love of learning, not just learning how to learn, which I think is missed in a lot of our education today, but also giving them a love and a desire and a passion to keep learning. So from there, you know, if our kids want to go to college, I don't think they'll have any problem getting into college. A lot of the colleges now actually are seeking out homeschool students because of their self-learning ability, their self-desire, their passion, their desire to want to learn. But we've also encouraged our kids, you know, if you want to go to college, we'll support you in that. But if you have a desire to start your own business, we'll support you there. Whatever God wants them to do in their life, I think going through this model of education, they can absolutely do it.
Yeah, I love that. It's not just learning. It's loving to learn, seeing yourself made in God's image, not being God. You know, God knows everything. He's never had to learn anything. We're made in his image. We have to learn things to know them, and to love that and to glorify God through that is a beautiful thing. And you do see it in them singing the history songs or drawing what they draw. And it's like a real joy mm-hmm. in their learning. We keep talking about classical conversations, which is really an international homeschooling group, and that has some of the same elements, but also some diversity within it. Do you know how many students are involved with classical conversations about?
I don't know anymore because it's growing so rapidly.
It's growing so fast. I mean, when I first heard of it, it was like 100,000 students.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing thing because you think of homeschooling as small and sort of nestled mm-hmm. away in the home. Then you realize that you have more than 100,000 students all learning a lot of the same stuff, going off to college together. And it's kind of like the biggest school that has ever existed is this 100,000 international classical conversations.
When we started, there was one community on Long Island.
Wow.
And then the following year is when I started directing, and it branched into three communities. And I know this year they're starting one in Staten. They have one in Staten Island. They have them in the city. They have several out here on Long Island now. So there, I would say there's probably between 8 and 10 just out here now.
Wow. Again, 631-955-5400. Love to hear from you. Give us a call. And, it's an exploding movement of homeschoolers. I know our community group didn't start all that long ago, and it's full. I mean, the older ages, there's still spots and openings. But for what you direct, the kindergarten through sixth grade, it seems like it's always full, and that when spots open, people just fill them immediately. And we've been blessed by getting to know people in that community, and our children just love it. What is this? I think we've used these terms over and over. Classical, and why is it called classical? And we mentioned this, the grammar and the dialectic, and then the rhetoric. But what are those three phases, so that everybody on listening in can understand?
So the classical style of education is supposed to take us back to the one-room schoolhouse style of education. So It's going back to where, you know, I have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 6-year-old, and I can teach them all the same things in one roof and not have to work 3 different subjects, 3 different whole philosophies on them. It's all learning together. They do different things, you know, for math and at different levels, but I can teach them all together. And it's trying to bring in those lost tools of learning that we've had from Dorothy Sayers' essay is what it's based on. And then Lee Borton's created the program, and she wrote a book called The Core so that it would explain a little bit more about the grammar stage, which again is just the memorization. Kids, if you remember back to when you were a kid, can you remember the songs that you learned when you were growing up? Almost all of us can, because we were sponges at that age. So we just soak in the memory. And it's utilizing how God created our brains to work and how God created us to learn, basically. So, you know, once they hit middle school age, they're asking a lot of why questions. Yeah. Why does this happen? How does this work? And that's the dialectic stage of learning.
We're going to take a real quick break, and then we have a I'm sorry, my mistake. We're going to take a phone call. This is great. Gabrielle from Valley Stream, you are on the air.
Hi, Pastor Shishko, Ms. Young. This is Gabriel.
Gabriel.
And I was calling to say that, Ms. Kim, you've done a wonderful job teaching, directing Foundations and Essentials. I was in Foundations and Essentials for 1 year, and then I moved to Challenge A.
Okay.
I just finished Challenge B, and I've seen how Foundations and also Essentials has helped me to progress in my learning, like the writing in Latin and all that wonderful stuff.
Gabriel, I'm sorry for calling you Gabrielle. This is one of our students from the Classical Conversations group there in New Hyde Park. And Gabriel, thank you for calling in. Did you have... Gabriel's, something. We show Gabriel off because we're so proud of how he's grown, and he's one of our older students. So he's going into Challenge 2, I believe. Challenge 1 next year.
Challenge 1.
First year of high school for everybody else, they'd say a freshman in high school. Well, thank you for calling in, Gabriel. Did you you have any questions, or did you just want to share that?
Just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Gabriel, for calling in. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you in just a moment.
Not enough to listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television. Everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We're no substitute for a faithful pastor in a local church, but we are a supplement. Visit our website, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org, and you'll find the ministry of this program extended right to your electronic device. Here you'll find archives of past programs, a weekly message from Pastor Bill's Pastor's Post, helps for pastors, helps for congregation members, material for officer training, and much more. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, everyone needs a pastor. And now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
I'm here. I'm Pastor John Shishko here with Kim Young, and we're talking about homeschooling and Christian education options. Kim, I remember being at an information meeting, and it was a mom with a child of special needs, and of course this is becoming more and more clear that certain children struggle with some form of autism. Then there's other varieties of special needs, everything from attention deficit disorder to some real severe learning disabilities. How have you found homeschooling to play into that. I mean, there's certainly lots of specialized schools out there and programs out there, and even some very good ones. What's been your experience with working with parents that come and have that sort of additional burden to just figuring out how to educate the other members of their family?
I think we have a beautiful display of that in our community with various families, because you know your child the best. You know their strengths. You know their weaknesses. You know where they need more help. We have, I think, the whole gamut in our community. Some people do send their special needs children to a specialized school, mm-hmm. but that's part of the beauty of homeschooling, I think, is you have the flexibility to do that. We also have a family that has a special needs child at home, and I think the other children that are homeschooled are able to interact with her better, and they learn how to love her, how to serve her, when if they were in school, they wouldn't be home with her as much. And then you also have the ability to bring in specialized tutors if you need it in certain areas. We had a lady come to our community this year who's a brain integration therapist, and she came and just shared with people who were interested, and they could choose to use her and incorporate her if needed, or whatever your needs are in your home. I think that's part of the one of the major positives of being a homeschool family.
Yeah, it's fascinating because homeschooling it might sound like we're saying one size fits all and that one size is homeschooling, and we are not saying that. What we're saying is, you think in terms of the home being a school, and it is for everyone to some extent or another, and then what you always work towards is figuring out what really does work for your family as far as a co-op or a classical conversations group or making use of specialized programs and evaluating and reevaluating and constantly evaluating the needs of your family, you know, by each child and their needs. And then you have this, again, what I love about this is a whole group. I mean, in moments you can have an email sent out to parents that have done so much of this. You don't ever have to recreate the wheel. Kim, I'm sure you could testify to this, but I want to say what I have found to be probably the most thrilling day-to-day observation about having a homeschooling family. I've already said my children are 9, 7, and 5, and on the one hand, my wife Lauren and I will get upset at points because you know, they talk to us so much, but what a thrill it is that they do look to us not just as mom and dad and authority figures, but as friends, that they want our wisdom and counsel. And then just to see how, because of the age differences and because they're always used to getting, they are one another's best friends. And, you know, that's just a thrill to see. We have one more call coming in here. We'll have to squeeze it in because we got to wrap things up real soon. But Kate, thanks for calling into the show today. Love to hear what you have to say.
Thank you. I'm on classical conversation.
And
my grandmother.
And my grandmother has a question.
Oh, your grandmother has a question. Okay, great. You got 30 seconds.
Hi, Pastor John.
Hi.
Just wanted to make a comment more than a question and ask Mrs. Kim. I homeschool, but I didn't have a great support group, and eventually my kids wanted to transition into public school so they could be involved in sports. So I really am thankful to hear that there's a more of a support group and that individual differences can be not modified, but can be appreciated. And I was just thankful to hear that that's your attitude and that you can work together.
Well, Kate and Kate's grandma, thanks so much for calling in. And exactly, this is not the homeschooling of yesteryear. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the conversations that we can have. We pray that you would bless Classical Conversations and all Christians everywhere, in public schools and private schools and in homeschools. We ask your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.